Every year before Christmas, a terrifying feeling grabs my heart and mind. It's been 10 years, but I still can't erase the haunting memory of one Christmas day. My son was 5 years old when this incident happened. After the separation from my husband, Damien was my everything. He was always nice to people and good with kids at school. Whenever I went to pick him up from school, I always saw him surrounded by friends. I was happy to see him fitting in nicely with groups. The week before Christmas, Damien's school staged a children's play. After the show ended, I was driving home with him. I was praising him for his excellent performance in the play when he just told me, "I made a new friend today, Mom." I smiled back and said, "You've been such a good boy this year, and I'm sure Santa will bring you lots of gifts for Christmas." His face lit up when I told him that. We got back home and had dinner. I tucked Damien into bed and he went to sleep. The next morning, when I woke up and went to the kitchen to make breakfast, I noticed the cookie jar was broken. Shattered glass and cookies were lying all over the kitchen floor. I got really pissed off and called Damien into the room. Damien was brushing his teeth and came to the kitchen about 10 minutes later. He looked up at me and said, "What is it, Mom?" I said in an angry voice, "Did you break the cookie jar last night?" He shook his head and said, "No, it wasn't me." I said, "Really? Then who was it?" Damien looked at me and said, "It was Mr. Nobody." As I was in no mood for such jokes, I got even more angry and said, "Don't you try to fool me, Damien." Damien started to sob and said, "I am telling the truth, Mom. I told you I made a friend yesterday. He said his name was Mr. Nobody. He was the one who broke the cookie jar last night." Then he started to cry. I picked him up into a big hug and decided to drop the issue. I figured, like every other child, he too had an imaginary friend, and due to the fear of being grounded, he was just making up a story. Christmas was now 2 days away. My ex-husband called and said that he'd like to join us for Christmas dinner. I knew how much Damien missed his father, so, for his sake, I decided to put aside our marital issues for one night. That evening, I was doing house chores when I heard Damien's footsteps in my room. "Damien, how many times have I told you not to play in my room?" I screamed out loudly. I could see a shadow moving on the wall opposite my bedroom door. I rushed to the corridor to scold Damien. I was about to peek inside when I heard Damien's voice from behind me. "Mom, I'm hungry." I was shocked and absolutely terrified at the same time. I slowly walked towards him and said, "Did you go into my room?" But Damien said, "No, I was in my room," and did something really creepy. He looked over my shoulder as if someone was standing behind me. I immediately turned around, but didn't see anyone there. Later on, I checked my room and the entire house, but all the doors and windows were already locked. Also, there was no sign of any forced entry. I got really worried this time and noticed weird things happening around the house. I started decorating the house as Christmas was knocking on the door. But sometimes, I noticed things being misplaced from their positions. Like, if I kept a lamp beside the porch in the living room and left for a few minutes, I always ended up finding it in the corner of the wall. Damien was too small to lift such a heavy lamp, and there was no one else in the house. One night, I went to the kitchen to get a glass of water and thought to check on Damien on my way back. As I got close to his door, I heard his voice talking. He was speaking to someone. He talked in a very low voice, but I could still hear him. Damien was saying, "You can't walk around the house at night like this. If Mom sees you, she won't let you stay with us." I immediately entered his room, thinking someone broke into our house, but there was no one inside. Damien was sitting on his bed nervously. I asked him, "Who were you talking to?" He looked towards his closet and then looked back at me. I said in a tensed voice, "Damien, you are scaring me now. Is there anyone in your room?" He still didn't say anything and just kept staring at me. I went to the closet and opened the door with my trembling hand. There was no one inside. I heaved a sigh of relief and scolded Damien for staying awake so late. I tucked him into bed and went to bed myself. I couldn't sleep that night. Damien's weird behavior had me worried. The next day was the day before Christmas, so I decided to take Damien to the mall to let him buy things for decorating the Christmas tree. We had a fun time, and I bought him some ice cream. On our way back, I asked Damien, "How's your friend, Damien?" He said, "Which friend, Mom?" I said in a hesitated manner, "Your new friend, Mr. Nobody." Damien's face turned sad, and he said, "I don't think we're friends anymore, Mom." I asked, "Why is that?" He replied, "He doesn't listen to me. Also, I feel scared of him." I was really quite shocked to hear him talk about his imaginary friend as if it were real. After getting back home, I told Damien, "What does Mr. Nobody look like, Damien?" He went to his room and brought me a drawing he had made. When I looked at the first page, I saw a very creepy figure. Damien drew himself on the bed, and there was a thin, triangle-faced man standing beside him. The man had a huge smile on his face, like someone had cut his mouth from one ear to the other. His eyes were huge, and his eyeballs were blood red. The picture disturbed me to the core. I turned to Damien and said, "How did you meet this guy?" He said Mr. Nobody came to watch him play and asked to come to our house with him. I felt goosebumps on my skin. I said in a low voice, "Do you mean he lives in our house now?" Damien once again looked behind me, and I was about to turn around when the doorbell rang. The doorbell scared the shit out of me, but I somehow managed not to let my fear show. As I opened the door, I saw Paul standing in the doorway. Paul is my ex-husband. We exchanged smiles and I let him in the house. Damien was so excited to see him just before Christmas, and they both started to decorate the Christmas tree. I couldn't shake the terrible feeling about Damien's imaginary friend, Mr. Nobody. After dinner, as Damien was put to sleep, I told Paul about all of this. He laughed and told me that I shouldn't be taking a kid's imagination so seriously. And that's the main thing I hated about Paul. He never took me serious, unless we got into trouble. The same thing happened in this case as well. On Christmas morning, we were all feeling excited. I went to Damien's room and woke him and Paul up, as Paul was sleeping in his room. We all came to the living room and witnessed a shocking scene. The Christmas tree was in complete ruins. It seemed like someone scratched it with something sharp and pointy. The toys and ornaments we hung on the tree were all scattered all over the floor. Paul and I both knew it wasn't Damien. But Damien started to cry and said, "Trust me, Mom, it's Mr. Nobody. He broke the Christmas tree." I didn't know what was going on. Neither did Paul. We calmed down our son and started to rearrange the decorations once again. Around 6 o'clock that evening, we had everything back the way it was before. I cooked a delicious dinner, and Damien got excited opening his Christmas presents, which were filled with toys and candies, and Damien started smiling again. Damien was watching the Christmas Day parade on the television, while Paul and I sat at the kitchen table, quietly, with our glasses of wine. Paul understood I was still disturbed with everything going on in the house. He spoke in a low voice, "You should probably leave this house and move somewhere else. I can arrange that for you and Damien." I was already thinking about that. I nodded to Paul's suggestion and agreed to take his help on this matter. We were all set on leaving the house the next morning and staying with my parents for a while until we could get a new house. I tucked Damien into his bed and went to sleep. Paul wanted to have a few more drinks and watch some television, so I left him on his own. Around 2 a.m. in the morning, I heard a soft crying voice coming from Damien's room. Damien's room is on the opposite side of the living room. I rushed to his room and noticed Paul passed out on the couch. I thought my son might have had a bad dream, so I didn't wake Paul. As I stepped near his room and opened the door, I froze in fear. I will never be able to forget what I saw in that room, but I can say with great assurance that I wasn't imagining it. I saw a thin, triangle-faced man lying on the ceiling over Damien's bed and looking directly at him with his blood-red, angry eyes. Damien was sitting on his bed and sobbing in fear. He was so horrified that he could barely cry out loud. I screamed at the top of my lungs at that demonic figure who looked at me and howled in his spine-chilling voice by opening his huge, dark mouth. His howl sounded like it didn't belong in this world. My scream woke up my husband, and he ran to Damien's room. By then, I had already grabbed my son and came out of the room. I said in a crying voice, "Get us out of here! I don't want to be in the house for another second!" We all got out of the house immediately and stayed the night at a nearby motel. The next morning, we went back to my house and packed a few necessary things before leaving for my parents' house. I left Damien inside the car because I didn't want him to step inside this house ever again. As we got into the car, after getting everything from the house, Paul started the engine. Damien was sitting behind me. He looked back at the house and said, "Look, Mom, Mr. Nobody is waving goodbye to us. He's got a smile back on his face." I don't know who this Mr. Nobody was, but my mother said it might have been a demonic spirit who followed my son home. We took Damien to a psychiatrist. Due to my parents' pressure, I also took Damien to see a priest. He conducted a few rituals, saying it was to bless my son's aura and soul. Now, I don't know how much it helped, but Damien hasn't seen Mr. Nobody after that horrifying Christmas night. Cherry and her little brother were running excitedly around the house because it was Christmas morning. She was very excited as they were going to go visit their uncle this Christmas. Cherry's mother came to the living room and told her to pack her bags as early as possible. It was going to be a 5-hour drive amidst the mountains, so they had to leave early. Cherry's brother Bob was always throwing tantrums. She went over to him and said, "You must hurry up, or Mom will be very angry with us. I'm so excited to meet Auntie and Uncle. Auntie Helena said she's going to make chocolate custard for Christmas tonight." Bob made a funny face and said,
"I'll eat all the custard and you'll get nothing."
Cherry started to scream and said, "Oh, shut up." Their mother, Kathy, said from the bedroom, "Oh, stop it, you two. We're already running late." John put the luggage in his car trunk and said,
"Kathy, hurry up. We have to leave now, or it'll be dark before we reach your brother's house."
Cherry feels like Christmas is her most favorite time of the year. So they all hopped in their car and started their journey. As they were driving among the mountains and pine trees, as far as their eyes went, they could see white snow covering nature all around them. Bob was busy playing with his Santa and elf toys. Suddenly, Cherry asked him,
"What do you want for Christmas this year?"
Bob replied,
"I've asked for a gumball machine and a huge house made of candies and cream biscuits."
Everyone started to laugh upon hearing his childish Christmas wishes. Cherry laughed and said,
"But to get your Christmas gift, you have to be good for the entire year, which you obviously haven't. The way you mess with my toys and things, I think this year, instead of Santa, Krampus will visit you."
Bob got really angry and started a fight with Cherry. Kathy managed to stop them and asked Cherry in a surprised voice,
"How do you know about Krampus?"
To which she replied that their English teacher taught them whoever hasn't behaved nicely throughout the year will be punished by Krampus. John said in a surprised voice,
"Who's Krampus?"
Cherry replied,
"Krampus is a half-goat, half-demon monster that punishes children who misbehave on Christmas. He's the devilish companion of Saint Nicholas. Children who did not listen to their parents or elders will be whipped and beaten by Krampus."
Kathy replied in a comforting voice, "Oh, I'm sure this is just an old scary story that your teacher told you, Cherry. There's no such thing as Krampus." Cherry thought to herself, if Santa Claus is real, then why can't Krampus be real? But she didn't say anything, as her brother was already crying upon hearing about this demon goat. Kathy gave Bob some chocolate and told him to be nice when they reached their uncle's house. Around 5 o'clock, they finally reached Uncle Sam's house. Uncle Sam hugged Bob and Cherry in his arms and led them inside. Aunt Helena came over and hugged Cherry and wished her a Merry Christmas. They all sat down near the fireplace and started to chat. Their house was beautifully decorated with Christmas items. Shining bells were hanging from the ceiling, and neon lights were sparkling all over the walls. Cherry was amazed to see the huge Christmas tree placed in the middle of the living room. It was filled with lights, crystal balls, jingle bells, and all the glittering things in the world. Cherry turned to her Uncle Sam and said in an excited voice that she loved their house and that they had the most beautiful Christmas tree in the whole world. Everyone was delighted to hear such sweet words coming from a 7-year-old girl. Bob was busy unwrapping the gift sitting under the Christmas tree. Just then, his father said,
"Bob, you should open your gift with your sister."
But he didn't listen. As the night went on, the celebrations grew even more. The table was filled with delicious dishes. An entire turkey was roasting and placed in the middle of the table. There were custards, mashed potatoes, fries, porridge, and Cherry's favorite, chicken rice. After dinner, Cherry sat down on the couch and started to open her Christmas present. It was a beautiful gown. She started to dance in joy and said,
"I knew Santa would fulfill my wish."
But on the other hand, Bob started to cry, saying,
"I didn't ask for a remote-controlled car. Where's my gumball machine?"
Everyone started to get busy and decided to ignore the little child. Cherry went to her little brother and said,
"Let's play hide and clap."
She knew Bob loves to play hide and clap, hence it will help to distract him for some time. The house was quite big, so they had lots of places to hide. As they began their game, Kathy said,
"No one will leave the house. Stay inside and play whatever you like. It's really cold outside."
Cherry could see the snow-covered ground from the large glass window upstairs. There was even a snowman near the house gate. A heavy wind was blowing outside, which made the glass window vibrate while making a clinking sound. As the game began, Cherry decided to hide first, and Bob would be the one looking for her. Cherry hid inside Aunt Helena's bedroom closet, and Bob started to count from 1 to 10. After he was done counting, he said in a loud voice,
"Give me the first clap."
The first clap took place, and Bob immediately followed it. After the second clap, he managed to find Cherry and yelled in joy,
"I win! I win!"
Cherry said,
"The game's not over yet. Now it's my turn. You go hide."
Bob wanted to win this game any way he could, so he went and hid in the attic. He stood near the attic window, waiting for Cherry's counting to end. The attic was dark, and the howling winds outside started to scare him. Suddenly, he looked out of the window and saw a man wearing a big red cloak standing beside the snowman. Bob got very excited, thinking that Santa Claus had finally come to visit them. He opened the glass window and yelled out in a cheery voice,
"Santa, I'm here! Did you bring me my gumball machine?"
The man wearing the red cloak waved his hand and nodded. Bursting in joy, Bob silently got down from the attic and sneaked out of the house. He opened the main door, making less sound, because he knew if anyone saw him going outside, that they would scold him. Bob was adamant to meet Santa and ask for his gumball machine, but he didn't see him anywhere as he opened the main door. Bob heard a rustling sound coming from the back of the house, as if someone was walking. At the back of the house, there stood a deep, dark woods filled with tall pine trees. With his small little feet, Bob walked towards the back of the house. He stood at the back of the house, facing the dark woods all by himself. He started to feel a little scared. The trees were bumping into each other as the wind passed through them. He spoke out in a low voice,
"Santa, where are you?"
Suddenly, he heard footsteps behind the nearby pine tree. He saw that same red-hooded person peeking out from behind a tree and calling to him. Bob slowly walked towards him. Meanwhile, Cherry was getting bored, as she couldn't find Bob anywhere in the house. Even though she kept asking for claps, she couldn't hear any. The elders were so busy that they didn't notice anything going on with the two kids. Cherry looked out from the window and saw Bob walking towards the forest. She ran to the back gate. By the time she reached the outside, she couldn't see Bob anymore. He was nowhere to be found. Cherry was standing all alone in the freezing cold, staring at the woods. Suddenly, she heard a whimpering sound coming from the tree nearby. As she tiptoed in that direction, her face turned pale in fear. Bob was laying on the ground, and a vicious-looking creature was standing in front of him. It was at least 7 feet tall, with huge, sharp horns on its head. The face of the creature looked like a dead goat. It had a body of a giant human, but its feet were like that of a goat. There was a whip in his one hand and chains on the other. The creature was growling in a muffled way. Drenched in fear and terror, a word came out of her mouth. Krampus! Hearing its name from Cherry's mouth, Krampus looked at her with its burning red eyes. The huge red tongue came out of its mouth while saliva started to drip from it. Cherry screamed at the top of her lungs, and Krampus growled in its demonic voice. The growl shook the entire forest, and the sound echoed into the valley for at least 2 to 3 minutes. Kathy ran outside, hearing her children's screams. As she came out, she saw Cherry sobbing and hiding her face in her hands, while Bob was laying unconscious on the snowy forest ground. The next morning, Bob caught a high fever. Cherry couldn't sleep well for an entire week. Kathy and John didn't have the slightest idea what their little kids had saw outside. So what do you think? Did Cherry and Bob really see Krampus that night?
Hi, my name's Shelley, and this incident happened on a Christmas night long ago. I was still in high school back then, and I was having lunch with my friends, Kate, Matt, and Jim, at our school's cafeteria. It was just us four, and we often hung out together. Being close to Christmas, everyone was talking about plans for that day. My friend Matt said, "Well, hey, we can all have a sleepover at my house. My parents will be gone for the holiday. We can party and drink as much as we want." High school life is probably the best time ever for teenagers, so we all got excited upon hearing his plan. I told my mother that I would be spending Christmas night at Kate's place. Kate lived with her grandma, so it was easy for her to sneak out at night for a Christmas party. After school, we all went to the mall to shop for the party. The mall was filled with Christmas decorations. Jingle bells were hanging all over the mall. And there was even a guy dressed as Santa, giving out candies and gifts to all the kids. Kate and I bought some snacks and decorations and left for Matt's house. Matt's house was a pretty good distance from the mall. On our way, Jim called me and said, "Hey, have you guys gotten here yet?" I said, "No, but we're on our way. When are you gonna get over there?" Jim said in an excited voice, "Oh, I'll be there real soon. I'll see you at the party." As we drove down the road, we noticed people having fun with their friends and family. The roads were covered with pure white snow, and it was really cold, so I rolled my car window up. After about 10 to 15 minutes, we left the township area and got onto an old dusty road. I told Kate, "Thank God for GPS, otherwise we'd have gotten lost by now." When we arrived at Matt's house, we saw Jim and Matt standing at the front door. The snow-covered house was decorated with neon lights and was looking kind of spooky. We went inside and sat near the fireplace to warm ourselves up. Matt offered us some wine from his dad's collection. We had a few drinks and started to put up the decorations that we had bought earlier. Kate got busy hanging all the bells and the sparkling chains all around the living room. Jim attached some neon lights to the already decorated Christmas tree and said, "Hey Matt, now your tree looks complete." We were all having just a really great time. And to be honest, it was my first night out with my friends. I was having such a good time. We all sat down and started to eat our food
when Matt said, "Hey, what do you think about the existence of spirits?" Everyone stopped eating and just kind of looked at him with a shocked look on our faces. Jim replied in a mocking tone, "Oh, come on, there's no such thing as ghosts." I agreed by saying, "Yeah, I don't believe in things that I can't see with my eyes." And Kate chimed in last, saying, "Well, I don't believe in ghosts right now, but if I saw one, I'd probably start believing in them. Of course, I imagine all the ghosts are busy partying tonight." And with that, she started to let out a big laugh, and Jim and I joined in with her. Matt got a little embarrassed by our reaction and kept quiet for a few seconds. I looked at him and said, "Hey, you got kinda serious there, but you gotta know there's no such thing as ghosts or spirits." He looked me right in my eyes and said, "What if I could prove to you that there are spirits?" The air in the room suddenly got very heavy, and we all started to look at each other. Nobody really knew what to say, and then Jim finally spoke up. "Fine, if you can prove to me that ghosts are real, I'll buy you a soda every day for an entire year." Matt got out of his seat and quickly left the room without saying anything. A few seconds later, he came back with a candle in his hand and a cardboard box. He then dimmed the lights in the room and placed the cardboard box in the center. He lit the candle with a matchstick and said in a low voice, "Well, I'm gonna summon a spirit right now, and I'm gonna need all of you to sit in a circle around this box." I said in a hesitant voice, "Guys, are we really doing this? Isn't this a bit too much for a Christmas party?" Kate looked at me and said, "Oh, come on, Shelly. Nothing will happen. Let's have some fun." So we all sat quietly, just like Matt had told us. The only sound that we heard was the snowy wind hitting the glass windows and nothing else. The candlelight made the room look really spooky. Sam said in a low voice, "First, we have to decide who we're going to call. We have to choose someone whom we've all seen at least once." That's when Jim said, "Well, do you remember my distant cousin Tom from my last birthday?" We all nodded our head in agreement, and Kate said, "Yeah, that one shy boy at your birthday. I remember him. But is he dead?" Jim said in a sad voice, "Yeah, he kind of died from an unknown disease. I want to know what happened to him. Let's call him." I was a bit shocked to know about Jim's cousin. He was kind of a shy boy. He barely talked to us on his birthday. I started to feel a bit disturbed that we were actually doing something like this, but I kept quiet because I was kind of interested too. We closed our eyes and held each other's hands. Matt said in a deep, low voice, "Tom, can you hear us?" Nothing happened. So Matt spoke out again, "Tom, we're calling out to you. Can you hear us? We want to know what happened to you." There was no sounds except for the sound of the wind outside and the clinking of the glass windows. Matt called out again, "Tom, please hear us. We're calling for you." But before he could finish, the candle flickered twice and then went out on its own. The room turned pitch black, and suddenly we heard a heavy knock at the main door. Kate and I almost screamed, and then Matt got up and switched on the lights. Jim said in a shocking voice, "Did you guys hear that, or was it just me?" We said that we had all heard it too. Then the knock happened again, but this time we heard a voice as well. Someone said in a tired voice, "Jim, open the door, man. It's too cold outside." We all got scared, as we weren't expecting anyone at that time. Jim was looking even more surprised than the rest of us, and he rushed to the door. As he opened the door, we all received the shock of our lives. It was Jim's distant cousin, Tom. Jim said in a gasping voice, "What the hell are you doing here?" Tom gave us a creepy smile and said, "I came to your house to visit you for Christmas, but your mom said you were staying at Matt's, so I came here. Merry Christmas, guys!" Kate got really angry and said in a loud voice, "You jerk! I can't believe you lied to us like that, Jim! I hope you burn in hell, goddammit!" Matt and I also hurled insults at Jim for lying to us about Tom's death. Jim laughed like an idiot and said, "Sorry, guys, but it's like I told you. There's no such thing as ghosts, see?" And we all sat down to have another drink.
Tom sat right beside us and told us about Jim's silly prank. He laughed and then said something which I thought sounded rather odd. Tom said in a deep voice, "Well, you would never know if you came face to face with a ghost. I also didn't believe like you guys, but I do now." My other friends didn't really pay much attention to what he said, and they all started to laugh about the entire situation. I, on the other hand, was feeling very mysterious about Tom's arrival. I looked him over from head to toe. He was wearing a full-sleeve t-shirt and sweatpants. It was so freezing cold outside, how could he have managed to come here just wearing that? Also, I didn't hear the sound of a car driving in. Jim's house was at least 20 minutes away from here, so there's no way anyone could walk that distance wearing just a t-shirt and sweatpants. We all knew that Tom was a really shy guy, but the way he kept smiling with the others seemed really odd to me. His behavior was completely different, and it wasn't just his clothes, but his face looked different too. His eyes were really big, and there was these dark circles under them. He was kind of looking sick to me. Suddenly, our eyes met, and he smiled at me in a very creepy way and said, "It seems you think a lot." I was so surprised to see him talk like that. I didn't know what to say, so I got up and went to the kitchen to wash my hands. Kate went along with me. Kate and I were talking about how weird it was to see Tom so suddenly tonight, and then Matt and Jim came into the kitchen to get more booze. "What's up? You two look worried." Kate and I started to tell Jim and Matt about this weird coincidence when Jim's phone rang. It was his mom. His hands were stacked with beer bottles, so he asked Matt to put the phone on speaker. We heard Jim's mom crying over the phone. Jim got nervous and said, "What's wrong, Mom? Why are you crying?" Jim's mom said in a sobbing voice, "Aunt Elena called. Your cousin Tom just passed away. She said Tom was in his room sleeping quietly when she heard him choking. She rushed to the room and saw him dead on the floor. His eyes were dripping out of his sockets as if he saw something horrible. Please, come home. We have to go to their house." Jim's mom couldn't say anything else and then hung up the phone. We were completely freaking out and horrified by this news. If Jim was dead, then who was sitting in Matt's living room right now? Our foreheads started to drip sweat as we all turned towards the living room. There was an empty space between the kitchen and the living room. What we saw next chilled us to our bones with terror. Tom was still standing in the living room, looking directly at the four of us. His eyes were coming out of his face. He smiled horribly and said in a demonic voice, "You all called for me, and look, I came. Merry Christmas, guys." And he started to laugh horribly. Kate screamed and fainted on the floor. Jim cried, "Oh my God." Matt and I just kept staring at Tom. We had no words. We couldn't believe our eyes. Tom started to walk towards the front door and turned to us one last time. He said in that same demonic voice, "I hope you all believe now that ghosts are real." And in front of our very eyes, he disappeared into thin air. And we all sat on the floor, shattered with this horrified feeling that our one stupid prank took the life of a young person. Jim spent a lot of time in therapy after that horrible Christmas night. Kate and I never spoke about the incident again. We don't know where Matt is now, because he moved out of town after that Christmas. But one thing is for sure, I sure as hell believe in ghosts now.